wheat was the leader early in the session, dragging the grain markets to the downside, but value buying and soybean meal helped beans and corn work up from the session lows. And after a highly volatile day yesterday, the livestock markets kind of caught their breath today. What's it mean for the end of the week? Let's get this started and figure it out.
Live from various secluded hovels via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, we'll talk with Brian Hoops from Midwest Markets Solutions. And right after the news, Todd Bubba Horowitz from BubbaTrading.com. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson. And now, here's the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
All right, Davis, thank you so much. Another chilly day here in the middle of the country, dude.
A lot of people like to start a fire in their basement if they get too cold, but there are those who hold out simply because of what the calendar says.
Just because of what the calendar says. That's exactly right. I mean, some guys are going about planting corn that way. Doesn't matter what it looks like out there. It's time to stick some corn in the ground. They're getting out there and getting it done.
Yeah. Well, so. You know, when the time is right, the time is right. You know,
that's right.
You got to follow your heart.
Yep. Everything good today, man?
Everything is great today. You betcha. Dumped a whole bunch of stuff onto the profarmer.com. If you're an inputs monitor reader, there's some stuff there for you to check into. And I kind of let my thoughts just roll just a little bit. Maybe long-winded. I don't know. Maybe not. I can't wait to talk on Friday in the Friday Farm Fuels and Fertilizer Report. I can tell you that.
I know this. Whenever you decide to just kind of let your thoughts roam and put those thoughts down on paper, it's always worth a read. It's always
hasn't been. Oh, I thought, you know, let's pad this just a little bit, just to, you know, keep it interesting.
Pump up that word count. love it. All right, hey, Bubba's on the line. Before we get to him, let's go ahead and get to the news.
Chip, professional trading funds ran from the long side of the wheat market today, sending SRW futures through support at short and long-term moving averages. The technical damage done to the market will make it difficult for the market to rebuild upside momentum, but the market did reject early sharp losses with prices moving back to the top half of the trading range on the close. Mm-hmm. Fundamentally, traders noted improved chances for rain in Russia generated much of the selling interest early in the session. July hard red winter wheat was 4 cents lower, 487. July soft red fell 9 1/4, 540.5. July spring wheat fell 6 1/2 cents to close at 527 even, Chip.
Yeah, early in the session, that May and July SRW contracts, they were through the 30-day, the 40-day, the 50-day, the 100-day moving average.
Jeez. Oh,
and I didn't know what was gonna bring the market back. But basically, I think what happened was the selling interest just kind of dried up, and the volume dried up in that week too, allowed it to come back up off the session lows.
Okay. Well, ethanol production in the weekend at April 10 fell 102,000 barrels per day to an average of just 570,000 barrels per day. Ethanol production this year topped out at 1.095 million barrels per day in the second week of January. Last week's production was down 48% from the peak of this year's weekly production. Ethanol stocks last week increased 378,000 barrels to a record 27.469 million barrels, Chip. That's a 19% increase in stocks since the second week of January. May corn futures were 6 3/4 cents lower at 319 1/4. July corn dropped 5 1/2 cents to 326 3/4. Deese corn, 342 3/4. That's down 3 3/4 cents.
Yeah, the troubles of the ethanol industry, they've been well documented, but since the second week of January, production has basically been cut in half. Ethanol stocks have increased by 1/5. It's a dumpster fire. There's no other way to describe it. You know, we're going to have Jeff Cooper from the RFA on the show tomorrow morning talk about what's going on.
Terrific.
There.
Yep. Good deal. Well, members of the National Oilseed Processors Association reported they crushed 181.4 million bushels of soybeans in March. That was way above, 6.2 million bushels above, in fact, Chip, way above trade expectations. The March tally sets a new record for any month ever. Despite the production increase, soybean oil stocks fell 23 million pounds from the end of February. Looky there. Strong export demand for U.S. bean meal to replace a supply disruption out of Argentina helped meal futures trade higher today, as did the slowdown in ethanol and DDG production. May bean futures were a nickel lower at 8.42. July beans fell 3¾ cents to 8.51 and 3. Novi beans, 8.59 and 3/4, down 5¾ today.
Yeah, that drop in the ethanol, I think that helped the meal market move to the upside today, too. We're just taking more DDGs off of the market, and you're taking that protein off the market. You got to replace it with something, and soybean meal is probably going to be the replacement.
Well, on the livestock side, chip-boxed beef prices continued to climb this morning, with beef supplies tightening due to reduced slaughter levels. However, market-ready cattle are backing up in feedlots, making it difficult to expect higher cash cattle bids this week. Futures found a way to close mixed, with June live cattle up 102.5 to 84.82.5, and August cattle unchanged 89.52.5. May feeders up 72.5 cents to 115.57.5. And on the snout side, very strong pork movement, with hog slaughter in the first 2 days of this week down more than 21% from week ago, as traders fearful of backed up marketings. But the pork demand did help lean hog futures trade higher. May lean hogs were $1.45 higher at $39.45, and July gained 67.5 cents to close at $44.62.5. Chip.
All right. Thank you very much, Davis. We've got the Dow, just to update everybody. Dow Jones Industrial Average is off about 410 points. That's about 200 points off the lows of the day, if I remember correctly.
Back over 23, though, as I see, right? Over 23K still?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a number we've been watching.
500, yeah. Yep.
All right.
Absolutely. All right. Thank you, Davis. Let's bring in Todd Horowitz, BubbaTrading.com. How you doing, Bubba?
You can watch that number in your rearview mirror. What's up, Chip? How are you?
I'm doing well. What do you make of it? What do you make of how the markets are performing here over the last week or so?
Well, and there's no liquidity in any market right now, so that's always a problem. That creates much bigger air pocket moves that are artificial to begin with. I feel horrible for farmers and producers. This has been one of the roughest periods I've ever seen. And all we needed was for the for Smithfields to shut down. That was another big boom, which just increases prices at retail. But the guys are swimming in inventory. The whole thing is brutal right now. But
yeah,
it'll pass, as it always does. And the markets, I mean, you keep throwing free money in $8 trillion, you're going to get a rally out of it. But I wouldn't be too impressed. I think we're going to take out the lows. That's my call. That's my official call. The equities go to make new lows. And the grains in livestock are very close to their lows if they're not in already. Those are my official calls.
Okay. All right. Have you given much thought to timing on this? I mean, looking at what's happening in Europe, looking at what's happening in Asia, have you given thought to timing of some of those moves here in the U.S.?
Well, you know, it's really hard to time it. It's going to be, I mean, one day something's going to happen again. That'll be, you know, something that'll be news driven. That will start the selling. And once they get the ball rolling, they're just dying to get back to those lows. You can watch by the volatility and what's going on. I mean, but again, the markets are so thin right now that nobody's really getting in the middle of it. And again, all you need is the FOMO of missing out, you know, the fear missing out to come in, and all the sellers show up. And next thing you know, all those guys who just bought will be puking it out as always. I mean, this is very typical action of markets in general. So I would certainly expect to see the next big move to be down. Now, you know, 400 points is not really a big move anymore because, you know, it's only percent. So it's not like it's air sharing.
Gotcha.
I'm repaying myself. All right, man.
All right, man. We'll talk to you later, Bubba. Thanks, man. That is Todd Horowitz, BubbaTrading.com. Brian Hoops up next on AgriTalk. Everyone talks big yields, but Channel Seedsmen deliver advice that yields results. Every season, Channel Seedsmen match elite seed products with unmatched service and support to push the performance of every acre. That's why you can count on Channel for what you need to make the most of your season. You don't have to be a Channel customer to take advantage of this support. Visit channel.com/agritalk to sign up and receive expert advice that yields.
This season, while work for you may have changed, our season is underway. American agriculture, farms on, for our family and yours.
And some of the countries out there they've set a schedule, Davis, on when they're going to try to get things back and going. So it's not just farm on. They are talking about business on in Germany, April 20th, 5 days away.
Jawohl.
Yeah.
Oh, that's coming right up.
Yes, just 5 days away. I think that might have helped the Dow get off the lows early, too. Mm-hmm. And it may be giving a little bit of hope that this idea that we can start to anticipate a restart. And you've got the governors that are working together trying to figure out when they can bring different regions back on. They're relying on each other. I think that's good. So some positive developments there. And on the farm on thing, you guys, keep the pictures coming of what farm on means to you. I'm not saying that it's all unicorns and rainbows, okay? I'm just wondering, and I want to see what farm on means to you. So text farm on, one word, capital F, capital O-N, farm on to 31313. With a picture.
And if you are,
with a picture of what the farm on means to you. Sorry.
There you go. Yep.
Yeah.
And if you are still one of the few that are raising unicorns and rainbows, we'd love to see that too. I mean, gosh, we need to see that more than ever now.
I didn't say it's not all, which implies some.
Well, of course not.
No,
the industry's taking some hits, but they're out there, and we applaud you.
Exactly. Exactly. All right, let's bring in Brian Hoops, Midwest Market Solutions. How you doing, Brian? You holding up all right?
Hey, I'm doing great. Yeah, we're doing well. We've got, you know, a lot of offices around the Midwest, some working out of their homes, some are still in the building, but we're staying safe. How about you guys?
We're doing okay. Yeah, we're isolated. Davis is working from his bunker. I'm working from my bunker. And everything seems to be going okay out here. Brian, what are you doing differently to make sure that you're communicating with clients that might be a little different than what you're doing before the COVID crisis?
Well, you know, I assume a lot of people know, but the NFA, you know, and our clearing firm, R.J. O'Brien, they work pretty closely to require us to have some sort of a backup plan, disaster recovery plan is what they call it, so that if your office, has a fire in the building or some disaster that you can't work in your normal office, that you have a workspace dedicated somewhere else, whether that's in your home, another building, your in-laws' house, or whatever it is. So, you know, for our standpoint, it was a pretty easy transition. We had all this in place already, and we're just basically testing out this backup plan that we were required to have anyway. And so, you know, we're keep communicating just as always. Our phone numbers haven't changed. Websites haven't changed. Twitter, text messaging, all that is virtually unchanged. I don't think our clients, and sometimes I do some traveling to different offices. They don't know if I'm in my Iowa office or South Dakota office or back in the Missouri office. It's really hard to tell.
Yeah. You know what? I did not know that you were required to have that backup location from where you could continue to do business, but it makes perfect sense.
Right. Yeah. You know, the NFA wants to safeguard against customers from having some sort of a disaster where they can't reach their broker, because you can see how fast these markets change and how, you know, how things can change on you in a hurry. You need to have access to that person so that you can make trades, get out of positions, whatever you need to do to protect yourself. And in fact, our clearing firm is R.J. O'Brien in Chicago, and they, you know, they, a lot of their employees to get downtown to their office building have to ride the train in. And that's, of course, very dangerous at this point in time. So they're working from home. They expect it'll be June or July before they get back into their office.
Really? Wow. Wow, 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 man. Okay.
Yeah, things have changed.
It's incredible. And you know, I'm not exactly sure. No, let's start with some of the news that we've been talking about on the show for a while now, Brian, and that is the demand destruction that we are dealing with in the biofuel markets, in the ethanol market in particular. Here we are. I haven't confirmed it, but I saw a tweet. Somebody said that it was the lowest closing corn in a long, long time today. It it's going to take a long time to recover from what we're doing to this corn market.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's exactly right. Seems like we can destroy the demand base much quicker than what we can build it up. And it's taken us years and years to kind of build this up. And we've lost it here just relatively quickly. You know, the ethanol numbers, that's what I think everybody is really focused on here. They were announced this morning. They were just a disaster, you know, compared to not only this last week, but compared to a year ago, the same weekly production, we're down 44% from last year. And, you know, we expect the ethanol plants, the industry's running at about 44% of capacity, and that's going to balloon up to 50% by next week or the week after. We're losing that much of our ethanol base at this point in time. The USDA, you know, increased feed usage in the last report, but lowered ethanol usage by 375 million bushels, and that 375 is probably going to have to be bumped up. We're probably looking at closer to, you know, 550, 575 at this time.
Yeah. Yeah. And the problem with that number in particular, Brian, is it just goes straight to carryover. In the April S&D report, they offset some of the 375 cut to the corn for ethanol by increasing the corn feed and residual. Now, they can push the residual number to anything that they want to push it to, but it's going to get out, if they go too far, it's going to get out of whack with what the stocks reports are. And then all of a sudden the reports don't make any sense. There's no continuity from report to report. So they can't allow that to happen, putting the residual up too high. So because they've already made the move on feed and residual, any cuts to corn for ethanol going forward, like you said, are probably going straight to the bottom line, and that's going to be tough to take.
Yeah, there's really no place else for it to go. And they did increase feed usage by 200 million bushels. I think you can make an argument that they need to increase feed usage a little bit more, especially if our cattle and our hogs are being backed up and unable to be slaughtered. They're likely to eat more feed. The quality of the corn that they're eating is questionable as well. So you can make a case that we're going to increase feed usage, but it's not to the same extent that we're losing the demand from the ethanol plants. Right. And, you know, as you said, there's no place for it to go. It's going to the bottom line, you know, and unfortunately, it's also widening basis levels out. I have, you know, producers who have lost ethanol plants in Northwest Iowa, for example, you know, several of them in a certain area, they're having a hard time trying to find home for their old crop and even their new crop right now. There's only so much product that an elevator can take, a feed mill can take. When you shut down plants, the ethanol plants, it's a huge loss to the community.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I'd like to think that we're going to, with what is happening in these markets, I would like to think that we're moving some acres from corn over to soybeans. But Brian, are your guys talking about that much at all?
Yeah, you know, it's a hot topic right now. I think we're going to see a little bit of that shift from corn to soybeans. I've had some clients talk about it, especially in those areas where we're really concentrated that they've lost ethanol plants, you know, 30 miles, maybe a couple of them either side of them. They may not have a choice but to go to some sort of a soybean crop or add a few more acres. But I think as you look nationwide, what are we going to shift? 1 to 2 million acres? It's probably going to be relatively minor to the balance sheet. So we may shift that much because of planning decisions just off of weather, let alone, based off of ethanol. So I don't see a huge shift, like a 10 million acre swing, but you could see, you know, 1 to 2, 3 million acres based off of weather and decisions about ethanol.
Okay. So if you do make that switch, what do you do with those bean acres? Normally, I would say, listen, if you're switching acres because of price, you better take the price that is being offered to you right now. But this feels like a different situation.
It's almost a no-win situation. And unfortunately, we're talking about, you know, prices that are low now and may move lower. You know, the hope is that China comes into the market and buys an aggressive amount of soybeans. what's going on in the world market with the coronavirus and blame getting shifted more and more to China for this and their handling of it, the trade agreement, I think, is going to have to be called into question as well. We have a lot of moving pieces on a political front that they may not buy as much product as what they want to. Even if they wanted to, they may not have the infrastructure because of their own fallout and, and loss of, of demand to the virus.
Exactly. Okay, when we come back, I want to talk about some of the shifting demand that the ethanol is causing out there as well. We'll do that next with Brian Hoops. It's time for Pro Farmers Headline News, featuring some of the headlines ripped from Pro Farmers First Thing today. Trump said he could start speaking with state governors as early as Thursday about a reopening the economy. Trump includes food and farm industry officials in the economic groups. Oil demand projected to fall by a record amount. Global oil demand is expected to fall by a record 9.3 million barrels a day this year. The Brazilian bean shipments have arrived in China. That is easing China's soy supply crunch. Trump says the U.S. to cut funding to the WHO over the virus response. USDA Secretary Perdue indicates farmer and rancher aid will include procurement and direct payments. Hey, check out everything that ProFarmer has to offer by going to tryprofarmer.com.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors.
Last week, AgriTalk paid tribute to farmers, agronomists, and all of agriculture chasing the dream during Agronomy Week. Our coverage is brought to you by DeKalb Asgro and Delta Pine. Learn more at agronomyweek.com. All right, welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip, got Davis, and we are talking with Brian Hoops. Before we get back to Mr. Hoops, let's go ahead and get a recap of how the market's closed.
Well, Chip, looks like July hard red winter wheat was 4 cents lower, 487. July soft red fell 9 1/4 cents to 540 1/2. May corn futures were 6 3/4 lower, 319 1/4. Dece corn closed at 342 3/4, down 3 3/4 cents. May bean futures were a nickel lower at 842. Novi beans closed at 859 3/4, down 5 3/4 cents today. On the livestock side, June live cattle were up 102 1/2, 84 82 1/2. May feeders firmed 72 1/2 to 115 57 1/2. And May lean hogs were a buck 45 higher at 39 45. Chip, there's your quick market recap. Back to it.
Okay, let's bring Brian Hoops back into the conversation here, Midwest Market Solutions. Brian, those closes in the livestock trade, okay, there was some buying in the markets today. It wasn't active or runaway buying or anything like that, but does that indicate to you that maybe cattle and hogs have tried to already factored in a worst case scenario?
I think we have. You know, the markets will always bottom before the news does. You look at what the stock market has done. You know, we haven't come out of this this epidemic yet. We're still battling through it. But yet the stock market, I think, has made a bottom and has had over a 50% correction based off of the stimulus packages and anticipating that we will be able to get through it and, carve out that bottom. I think the cattle market trying to do the same thing. The lows that we posted right around the 1st of April in the June contract at 76.60, you know, that represents a cash market of $76 by June. And the futures anticipating that the cash is going to fall that far, but yet now we're starting to rally a little bit. We've got bad news hitting the market from the standpoint of all these plants closing down, not being able to slaughter as much inventory as what they normally would, but yet that's going to drive cutout values higher. It's going to increase packer margins. And when those packers, you remember back even last summer when we had that fire in Holcomb, Kansas, that indicated to the packers, find a way to make up for that shortfall, maximize the profit opportunities that are here. And I think that's what we'll do is we'll, maybe it's going to take another week or 2 weeks, but at some point, packers are going to figure out a way to make the work lines more safer for their workers, increase the kills once again, and we'll see these bigger supplies being absorbed, just like we did last fall when it didn't appear that we'd be able to. I think we're starting to turn that corner. Maybe we go back and test those lows, but I think at $76, $80, that's too much of a drop in the cash markets. I don't think we fall that far.
Man, I like the way you think on that, Brian. I do, because here we are in the midst of just crappy news all over the place for this livestock trade. You know what? I can't say that. I shouldn't say that because of the way that the boxed beef market and the pork product market is traded this week. We've seen some strength there and some movement. So it's not all bad news. I got to get over that. And I love your thought there that maybe the markets are telling us that the Packers have figured out somehow, some way that we're going to get the hogs and the cattle processed on a close to timely basis. We're going to get backed up some, but if we can keep it close to timely, then the markets have got a chance, Brian. I like that. I like that a lot.
Yeah. I think, you know, we're going to get through this. It's not going to be as bad as what the people think or what everyone thinks. I think the cash will come down a little bit. In fact, we may start to see some deliveries tonight. There was a little bit of regional trade at 150. That equates to 94.50 on a live basis. Well, okay. April's now settled above that price level, so that could give us a few deliveries against April. We may set back in the futures, but I don't think we go back below that 76.60 area. I think we could maybe go down and test it once again, but this market's going to figure it out before the news does. And news is always going to be behind. We're going to get through this. We may see the cash come down a little bit, but the futures, I think, have either posted their bottom or are really close to doing that.
That's outstanding. I love that. I like that a lot. Okay, since we've started to get a little optimism going, let's go to that buster of a report that we got from the National Oilseed Processors Association, the NOPA report today. Holy smokes, dude. That was a big number on crush and an even more impressive number on the meal demand, right?
Right, yeah, a huge number there. All-time record. For the month of March, 181.4 million bushels. You know, last month, we were at 166. That's a huge number compared to estimates, compared to last month, compared to last year. No way around it, but we've seen some big crush numbers. Now, again, as we've been talking, the market's trying to anticipate what's going to happen. We fall into contract lows yesterday. We had a little short covering going into this report, so why should we be at contract lows when we've got this huge demand? Well, the market's thinking that the crush margins have weakened, and now we're below year-ago levels for the crush. And so over the last several weeks, we've lost probably a lot of this demand, and we're not going to be crushing as much soybeans. So that's the problem here, is we've factored all this in already, as prices were much higher just 2-3 weeks ago, and now they've softened up quite a bit.
You know, I would like to think that what we were talking about in the last segment with what's going on with the ethanol demand and the reduction in production there means that a cut in the production of the DDGs should bring some additional demand for meal going forward, shouldn't it?
Right, yeah. I'm thinking along the same lines you are. There are not as many DDGs to feed the cattle, so they're going to feed more corn and supplement that with soybean meal and hull, and that may filter into the pork as well. So we may see less soybeans being crushed. We may see more meal demand. It may balance out a little bit, but I think what we're looking at anyway is the fact that crush rates have weakened and margins are below last year's levels. They're going to start to slow down their crush. It's just not as profitable to do that any longer.
Yeah, yeah. And damn profits, they always seem to get in the way of stuff, Brian.
And, exactly.
And you got to pay attention to it. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
You have to, because that's the direction that we're going. That's why we profits of ethanol have really fallen off a cliff, and that's why these plants are shutting down. Yeah. That's why we're losing so much demand. If we can return profitability, and that's one thing our country badly needs, is to get back opened up and get back to normal where we can start driving and start interacting and being a society once again. That'll help our demand. It'll help our usage. It'll help these ethanol plants come back to more normal activity. And in turn, that'll help our corn prices. It'll help our basis levels out.
Right. Right. Okay. You know, I was going to ask you if the NOPA report was the kind of a report or the kind of information that could stop the selling that we're seeing in some of the markets. But I think you've answered that, that based on what's going on right now, the answer to that is probably no. What do we need in these markets right now, Brian? I mean, does just a generally better attitude, a willingness to take on some risk, does that help these markets out at all going forward?
I think you've got to have a real fundamental stimulus to turn the tide here. If you're, you know, if you're a fund manager and you're sitting on a bunch of short corn and soybean futures, what's going to take to get you out of those short positions or even to get buying long to drive prices higher? You know, last year we drifted lower all the way until mid-May before the market finally responded to the wet planting conditions and the floods that we were having, and then took off and rallied. And we need something like that once again, some supply disruption to get funds out of their shorts, out of their comfort zone of selling every 1 or 2 cent rally, that prices can move higher. Okay. Some fundamental change has to come. It may not happen here in April. The weather forecasts look all pretty good for planting. You know, wheat's had a little bit of a rally, had a little scare on frost concerns. We need something like that for corn and soybeans, something that'll scare the market out of their shorts and realize that this, you know, is not such an easy deal as just to sell every morning if prices are down 1 or 2 cents.
Yeah, okay. What does $20-$25 crude mean for the grain markets going forward?
I don't think it means anything bullish whatsoever. You know, we need those higher prices. We need a little bit higher prices at the gas pumps to encourage more ethanol usage and less usage of our energy, our crude oil prices. When we have cheap gas, you know, down here where we're at, gas is like $1.24 at the pumps and ethanol is the same price. There's really no incentive to buy that ethanol blend gasoline as far as prices go. We need higher gas prices to encourage a little bit more ethanol usage to get the refineries back up and running. So if $25 isn't going to do it, we're going to need to be back in the, you know, at least in the 40s up into the 50s before we see much in the way of better demand.
Gotcha. The CARES Act, the money that is now going out to consumers, is it going to work, do you think? Does it help us jumpstart the economy?
It certainly helps. You know, a lot of consumers need the money right now. A lot of people still being laid off. The payment protection program that they just went into place less than a week ago, it's out of money already. So, I mean, we're going through this money fast. We're going to need more stimulus money. It helps, but it doesn't really, you know, if you're a consumer and you just got this $1,200, you're probably paying bills with it, or you're trying to buy food with it. You're buying essentials to get you by because you don't know what the future holds and you're concerned about that future. You're not out there stimulating the economy and going out to eat like you used to and buying a car or something. We have to get back to normal before we can really get things back on the economy scale.
Yeah. Brian, it is always fun to talk with you. Thank you so much.
Get an early season win against weeds with Corvus for end of season rewards.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I think Davis is going to be joining us here in a couple of minutes, but in the meantime, we've got Farm Journal News Director John Harris standing by. Hey, what?
I think I'm back.
I think you are back. Is everything okay? Is everything okay there?
Did you explain to the listeners what had happened? Because it's happened before. Yeah,
I did not.
Somehow my router is on the same circuit, apparently, as the outlet that we use to plug the vacuum in when the kids are vacuuming the living room. Yeah. So while I'm down here, they're upstairs busily cleaning away, and they blew the fuse, knocked me right off. But here I am. I'm back.
You're back. I love it. I love it. Good stuff, man. You want to know something that it, well, wait a second. Before we do that, Brian's idea, Brian Hoop's idea, Midwest Market Solutions, that the livestock markets, cattle and hogs specifically, are indicating that the Packers have figured out a way that they will be able to process the cattle and hogs. I think that is that's an interesting thought. Mm-hmm. Boy, I hope he is right.
Yeah, and I wrote in my notes too. It was an interesting part, and I know that you were super excited about it when he had that to say. But Bubba would agree too. Listeners, if you've ever heard Bubba on the show, he's always like, if you're trading the news, you are behind the curve. Yeah. Once it hits the headlines, it's not news anymore. It's already been traded. It's already been factored in. You know, I think sometimes Bubba takes that idea to the extreme, but Brian certainly has a valid point here.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought that was very good. I thought it was really, really good. It may also be indicating that they have figured out a way to make adjustments inside of those processing plants to speed it up a bit. So maybe we're not going to see all the same cuts that we've seen in the past, but they're going to be able to process more animals because of that. I wonder if we're not starting to see some adjustments made at milk processing facilities, the plants out there, that we can start to, instead of putting milk in the cartons for the school lunch program, maybe we are starting to see some of those facilities put it into gallon jugs for the grocery stores. I think that's something that at this point, I wouldn't stop on those efforts.
Right.
Because we've got no idea when this is going to get back to looking like normal, okay?
Right, right.
The globe, I was watching for this today, and around the world we have crossed the 2 million mark on total confirmed cases.
Yes.
Right now we're sitting at 2,023,663. From that, we've got 133,261 deaths here in the United States. The latest numbers, and these are according to Johns Hopkins, okay?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The latest numbers from the United States, I wanted to hit refresh on that real quick. You're awfully quick with that, you know? confirmed in the United States, 619,607.
Really?
Yeah.
That many? Wow, now I can't shut it off. Wow.
Yeah, 619,607. Total deaths up to 27,085.
Okay.
Total tested in the U.S., 3,138,000.
Oh, okay.
Johns Hopkins also does a little bit of charting, and one of the charts that I've been watching most closely is the daily cases. We are way below the peak number that we had back on, what was it, Friday, April 10th, when we had 35,100 cases confirmed in the United States. Now, yesterday, we were all the way down at 24,900. Yesterday. So on Monday, we were down at 24,900. Yesterday, the confirmed number that I'm looking at right here is 27,000.
So the numbers do appear to be at least leveling off or maybe coming down a bit. But let's not get complacent. Still not safe to run around out there kissing strangers on the mouth. Nothing like that. Not yet. We're not there yet.
We're not back at that point for Davis.
Let's just keep it dialed back for the moment, okay?
Yeah, absolutely.
Encouraging news, though.
Yeah, and one of the things that is a little discouraging is that we continue to see proof and more evidence of just how the supply chains out there are still so misunderstood. And I'll admit, I've learned a lot through this whole process.
Oh, I have too. Yeah.
Of what that supply chain, whether we're talking about dairy or pork or beef or corn or ethanol or whatever, you know, and the reason that I've learned as much as I have, or I feel like I've learned as much as I have, is because in a mm-hmm. lot of cases, Davis, we just took it for granted.
Yes. Yep. You know, it just
showed up, dude. You know?
Well, and I feel like the last maybe 2, maybe 4 years, somebody should write all this stuff down. This would make an excellent textbook on supply side management, how it works, how it doesn't, and how, you know, you've got to keep the demand balance in there as well. It's fascinating right now to watch the supply demand balance and what different places are trying to do to alter it, to try and, you know, make it do what they want it to do.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and when we take a look at dairy and beef and pork how finely balanced
mm-hmm.
it all was before this, between the product flowing into the restaurants and the food service, into the grocery, against how much was being produced and the availability mm-hmm. of market-ready animals and the shackle mm-hmm. space and the labor issues and...
all the way down to the packaging and the shipping.
Right. A jug versus a carton.
Yep. Yep.
How finely everything is balanced and intertwined out there. It's been absolutely fascinating. Hey, for Davis and for producer Joe Stackler, thank you for listening today. Tomorrow morning, we got Jeff Cooper, president and CEO of the RFA. And tomorrow afternoon, Bill Biederman from AgMarket.net.